Over this last month, the stretch of a month, we've had, I think, right at 12 funerals. And the whole of this last year, we had 15. So the family always chooses the readings, and it's been interesting for a number of the funerals, and this is just the case across the board, that they chose the option of the Beatitudes. People resonate with the Beatitudes. But, you know, when you think about the Beatitudes, they're kind of hard to grasp. We're like, what does it actually mean to be poor in spirit? You know, how does that apply to my own life? Yet, at the same time, there's an intuition in people. There's a sense that there's consolation and comfort from the teaching of Jesus' teaching of the Beatitudes. So the Beatitudes are found in three of the four Gospels, and today we hear them from Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first of the Beatitudes, we also hear it in Luke and Mark, except in Luke and Mark, they said, blessed are the poor. They don't include blessed are the poor in spirit. So is there something there that can help us to understand and grasp what this teaching is about? Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because when we think about blessed are the poor, you know, the first thing that comes to our mind probably is materially poor, right? That blessed are those who have no money, who have no wealth. Well, there's a close connection between material poverty and spiritual poverty. And in fact, the Second Vatican Council, in one of its teachings, speaks about that every single Christian is called to the evangelical councils of poverty, chastity, and obedience. They live it in different ways. You know, a priest lives it different than a married person versus a religious. So we're all called to poverty, chastity, and obedience. These have a spiritual purpose for every single one of us. So poverty. Well, let's go a little bit deeper here. What does it mean when we say blessed are the poor? And how does that lead to being blessed are the poor in spirit? Happy those who are poor in spirit. Well, Zephaniah gives us some insight today. So I think in the three-year cycle, this might be the only time that we hear from the prophet Zephaniah. If you go and check him out in the Old Testament, be ready. It's gloom and doom, doomsday. And in fact, he's writing to the Israelite people that they are basically, they're on the fringe of being exiled. The Babylonian exile is coming about. So it is definitely a time of dread. And Zephaniah is talking to a group, a remnant, some leftovers, those who are called out. And who is this group among the people that are going to receive their punishment, their due punishment, because they have been defying the Lord, they have been breaking and violating the commandments, they have turned away from God? Who's this remnant? We hear that they're the humble and the lowly. The literal meaning with the humble is the poor. And these people were, you would say, they would call them the afflicted, the wretched, among that group. They didn't have any, basically, social status. They didn't have any money. They didn't have places of honor. And so they were materially, literally poor, humiliated. And because of that, having humility. And so, well, what's special about this group of people? Is it just the mere fact that they're poor, they're humiliated, that they're special in God's eyes? No, their poverty drove them to make God their refuge. That we don't have anywhere else to turn. I can't rely on myself because I don't have really any natural talents. I don't have financial resources. I don't have work. I don't have social status. Where do I turn? There's no other place to turn. I'm going to turn to God. In Him, I'm going to seek my refuge. And so it's interesting, over time, this group of poor people, materially poor and destitute, they received another moniker, another name, another title. The faithful of the Lord. So there became a direct connection between being materially poor, destitute, afflicted, wretched, this group of people, and being the faithful of the Lord. Because out of their poverty, they had nowhere else to turn, and they put all their trust in God. And so this title of the faithful of the Lord, then you find out through the entirety of Scriptures. So there's a very close connection, as we've been describing, between closeness to God, spiritual, a deep spirituality, and a material poverty. And that's what, when we go to the Beatitudes, that's why when we talk about blessed are the poor, which Mark and Luke use, and blessed are the poor in spirit, if we put those all together, it makes sense. Blessed are the poor in spirit means that we're not relying on ourselves. We are relying on God. God is my hope. God is my refuge. God is my deliverer. So that's what it means to be poor in spirit, that I'm not self-sufficient. Does that make sense? All right. And Mark and Luke, when they focus on blessed are the poor, they're focusing on what? The poverty, the material poverty that leads to being poor in spirit. So they go hand in hand. You can't really rationalize away the importance of poverty. That's why the church teaches that every single one of us are called to the evangelical council of poverty. Well, in the church, we recognize that there's an voluntary poverty and an involuntary poverty. So the involuntary poverty would be, obviously, the people in the book of Zephaniah, right? They didn't choose their poverty and affliction. And out of that, then, they turned to make God their refuge. Now, is it automatic because you're poor, you're going to turn make God your refuge? No, you can become resentful and harden your heart, right? So it's not an automatic connection, but it's conducive. It's conducive to poverty in spirit. Then we have in the church what we call voluntary poverty. Every single one of us is called to a form of poverty. So the voluntary poverty, well, what are those expressions in the Catholic Church that lead to us to put more trust in God and not in our own resourcefulness? You have religious. So I have a cousin, Heidi Urach. She just joined the Immaculate Heart of Mary Sisters here in Wichita. So she'll probably have 6 to 9 years before she would make final vows. But right now, she's living actual material poverty, and she can't own anything. And if she stays, she'll make a vow of poverty for the rest of her life. So religious make a complete full vow of poverty in order to live this poverty of spirit. How about priests? Well, we know priests don't live poverty. No. Okay. Priests make a promise of simplicity so they can own things. They get a salary. I think our salaries without our food allowance is like, and with before taxes is like $1,700 a month, something like that. So we can have things, but there's supposed to be a simplicity. And the purpose of the simplicity is that we don't become too comfortable in the things that we have. We become self-reliant. We keep recognizing a need, so we have to put our trust in God. And then I want to highlight the purpose of stewardship. Really, the purpose of stewardship and the tithe, the 10% that we give, the idea is that it's a voluntary poverty that we're taking on so that what? We're uncomfortable and we have to put our trust in God. If you say, if we're just God giving God our leftovers, that's not a voluntary poverty because we're not diminished really in any way. The idea is that we make ourselves diminished so that we can live out the poverty that leads to poverty of spirit. So you know what? When it gets down to it, writing that check, that 10% of our income, it should be painful and difficult. It should make us alter our standard of living. Then we're on the right track. It's forcing us to reshape and change our values and to put our trust and make our refuge the Lord. Here's the good news. Poverty does not lead to deprivation of an interior life and happiness. What we believe is this poverty, voluntary, involuntary poverty, has the potential, and it's in God's plan, to make us happy. Blessed are those. Beatitude is the invitation here, if we can let go and turn our lives over to God. Because ultimately, we want to get to the point of what we hear in Corinthians. We want to get to the point of what St. Paul's speaking about, when Christ is our life, and in Him we find our redemption. In Him, we find our sanctification. In Him, we find wisdom. Everything that we are looking for, so that our boast might not be in ourselves, but our boast would be in the Lord.